I asked about the ending to movies, TVs, because we're actually going to end a series today. We're going to wrap up our series on Abraham. His full story doesn't end, but we're going to wrap up our series here. And before we do, let's recap what we've learned about walking in faith throughout this whole series. It was called Walk of Faith, kind of been the overarching theme. So the last 6 weeks, we have talked about, one, walking in obedience. Abram was told to go to a new land by God. He went in obedience. We need to walk in obedience. Week two was walk in the midst of fear. Famine hit the land Abram was in. He left to go to Egypt to take care of himself and his family. We will experience fear, but we need to go through it in faith and have our faith guide us. Week three was walk in the midst of conflict. Abram and Lot's herdsmen, remember, they quarreled over who had what land for the animals, and Abram had to deal with that conflict. We will face conflict in life, but we want to handle it in faith in ways that honor God. Week four was walk in the midst of waiting. Abram had to wait on the promises of God coming to fulfillment, just like we do. We have to have faith in the waiting because not everything will happen right now. Week five was walk in step with God. God walked step by step with Abraham. This was the week his name was changed to Abraham as he walked out his faith. Same happens for us. God walks our faith with us. We never walk our faith alone. God is right there with us. And then last week was walk in joy, choosing to hold to the promises of God in the midst of everything else, walking with obedience and holding on to God's grace, God's timing, and even walking in laughter. We need to walk in joy so badly sometimes. We need to hold to the joy of the Lord. And all of that leads us to today. Now, the story we're going to talk about today is actually kind of a dramatic story, I think. I think it's an intense story as well. It's a big ending. Spoiler, it's going to end okay. All right, don't worry. If you get nervous during it, we're all good. But there are moments that are actually kind of tough to stomach. But if I were to sum up this story and Abraham's posture throughout this story, it's with the word surrender. He shows surrendered faith. And surrender not as like defeat, but he's surrendering to his own ways. Surrendering to God's guidance, God's plan. And that's not easy, but part of walking in faith is walking in surrendered faith. So think about this with surrender. Surrender isn't admitting defeat, it's displaying devotion. Surrender isn't admitting defeat. You're not beat down and done because you surrender to God. You're displaying your devotion to God and his ways and his guidance. So throughout this story, we're going to see how Abraham is devoted to God, and we need to stay devoted to God in surrendered faith throughout our lives. So we're going to be in Genesis 22, starting with verse 1 today. It's bookmarked on the Bibles on your table. Kyle will have it up here on the screens. You can follow along. Phones, tablets, computers, I'll be in the NIV translation per usual. We're going to break down the story in four parts today, and then we'll kind of dive into the whole thing about surrender. So Genesis 22, we're going to start in verses 1 and 2. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. So God tests Abraham. Real quick clarification, test, not temptation, okay? The devil took Jesus to the wilderness in Matthew 4 to tempt him, to try to get him to sin, to bow down and worship the devil. This is a test, not to sin, but a test of how strong Abraham's faith is, to reveal the faith that he has in God. And the test, God says, is to sacrifice your only son, Isaac. And look at the wording. Your only son, the one you love, sacrifice him. Now, child sacrifice was not a common practice in this day and age, so we can erase that as a thing. If it did happen, it was to like another god, usually right after birth for like a fertility or protection thing, but this was not a practice that was normal or common, so it's none of those things. It is a test of faith. It's huge and it's hard. How's Abraham going to respond? Genesis 22, 3 to 5. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then come back to you. Abraham exercises surrender right away. Okay? He starts out early in the morning. He's resolute. He's determined. Think about something. You know you got to do it, and you just jump on it right away in the morning so that you get it done. So you follow through. That's what Abraham is doing. He cuts the wood. He gets Isaac ready to go. He gets his servants, and off they go to the place where he is supposed to sacrifice his son. This is a three-day journey. 3 days. He's got time to stop. He's got time to turn around. He's got time to get mad. He's got time to ask questions. He could look for something else to sacrifice. But he remains obedient. He remains surrendered to what God has called him to do. And he gets to the spot and tells the servants, he's like, stay here. Isaac and I are going to go a little further. He says two things. He says, we will go worship. That's the first thing. We will go worship. In this moment, he goes to worship God, to show devotion and honor to God, not to fight against him or disobey him, but to go worship him. He is going to worship in surrendered faith. Second thing, we will come back. Don't miss that. We will come back. He and Isaac are going to return. Somehow in his mind, he knows, he believes this isn't the end for Isaac because he's been promised Isaac, right? If we think back through our story, God promised that Isaac would be born, that out of Abraham and Sarah would come Isaac and we'd have descendants and all these nations. Well, if Isaac dies now before any children, that promise is broken. But God doesn't break promises. So Abraham has faith and confidence in God and remains totally surrendered. But yet they're still there. So what shakes out? Verses 6 to 8. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So the wood for the altar is all set. Abraham has the knife and the fire. We're going. And now we hear from Isaac for the first time. And he says, where's the lamb? The animal that's going to be sacrificed, where is it? And Abraham just says, God will provide. He doesn't clue Isaac in, doesn't justify it, no explanation. He just says these incredibly famous words, God will provide. He stays steadfast. He stays faithful. He stays surrendered. He doesn't know how or when God will provide, but he believes that he will. So will he? Let's find out. Verses 9 to 14. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. I think this is one of the most like dramatic and intense like story scenes in all of Scripture, maybe minus the crucifixion. Abraham binds Isaac and he lays him on the altar. And don't sleep on Isaac's faith right here. Isaac doesn't struggle. He doesn't fight off his dad. He doesn't try to run away. He's also obedient and surrendered. Then when Abraham is ready to do it, the angel calls to him. And Abraham says, here I am. The exact words he used when God first called him at the beginning. God, here I am. Listening, faithful. He says, I'm right here, right where I'm supposed to be, right where you called me to be, faithful, obedient, and surrendered. And the angel says, stop, don't harm the boy. Abraham was surrendered. He demonstrated his faith, and he was never going to actually have to sacrifice Isaac. And now he sees the ram caught nearby, and that's the sacrifice. God sent something else to be the sacrifice. We can foreshadow that a little bit to how God's going to send Jesus to be our sacrifice. God provided. So Abraham names that place, the Lord will provide. It wasn't about the sacrifice. It was about Abraham's surrendered faith to God. We need to walk in surrendered faith. We will have tests of our faith, and they will come in a variety of ways in our lives, all different for a lot of us. But we need to be surrendered, walk in that surrendered faith throughout them. So we're going to look at a few things surrendered faith is. Surrendered faith is faith when it doesn't make sense. Abraham had been promised a son by God. Not only that, this son was going to be in a line of descendants. So how in the world does it make any sense that after God says all of that, he's supposed to offer Isaac as a sacrifice? Like, make it make sense. Think about this. You come home from a super long, crazy work day, right? Everybody at work was all nuts to you. You're exhausted. You're beat. You're done. You're like, I'm going to bed. I should be out 5 seconds after my head hits the pillow. Head hits the pillow, and man, your brain's giving a TED Talk, right? Man, you could write a dissertation on everything in the world because the brain is going 1,000 miles an hour. From the nods I see in the room, there's a lot of us that deal with this one. Make it make sense, right? I'm exhausted, but I can't sleep. Or those of us that have ever cleaned a house, you spend 10 hours, I'm going to clean my house. It's going to be spick and span within 2 minutes. It's a war zone. Make it make sense. The math doesn't work, friends, but it happens. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. Abraham has to be saying this about the situation with Isaac. Just make it make sense. There's a quote from author Bob Goff that I love. It says this: it's almost like Jesus came to say, among other things, that a relationship with him isn't supposed to make complete sense. Thanks, Bob. Faith isn't an equation or a formula or a business deal that gets you what you want. In short, there's nothing on the other side of the equal sign, just Jesus. Faith doesn't always make sense. But we're used to knowing the why or making sense of something, right? If I do A, then I get B. Or if I do C, D happens, right? It makes sense as to why we do A or C. And we know the big why of our faith in God, right? I have faith that leads to eternal salvation and eternal community with God. That's great, right? And that gives us hope. That gives us comfort. But it doesn't really always fill in the gap so well right here and right now. My faith is tested right now. What's going to happen right now? What's the outcome or the result right now? What's the why? Right? I don't like this part of faith. I don't like not knowing what's happening right now or what I'm working towards. See, I am an in-the-box logical thinker. That is how my brain works. Faith isn't in the box. Faith isn't logical. And the temptation, at least for me, maybe for you, is to try to just figure it out all on your own, right? We're all smart, capable people here, right? Let's answer all the own questions in my mind. But here's the thing. If we want an answer badly enough, we'll manufacture one. We'll make it up. We'll figure out an answer because we need a reason or we need an understanding. When reality, standing in surrendered faith may not tangibly show us anything, but it shows God everything. When we stand in surrendered faith, it shows God our faith. It shows God our trust, shows God our devotion. And we can't quantify that on a spreadsheet or a log or however you want to track anything. But God can, and it's what he looks at when we're tested. It's not the why God is doing something, it's the why we're doing something that matters to God and that God sees. The why is Jesus, faith in him, the way we act when we're tested. Getting closer to God, moving towards him in the times of testing. And there's not like a clear-cut method to get through it, but I want to kind of share one thing I want you to try. If you struggle with times when faith doesn't make sense, try to look up, down, and around. We'll look up, down, and around. I think I've shared this before, but look up to God. Tell God you're confused and that it doesn't make sense. Don't ask him to give you the reasoning. It's not the point. But just ask him to walk with you through the process. But look up. Look down at your Bible. For all the ways God showed faith and or people had faith in God when it didn't make sense. Abraham in our story here, you could look to the story of Moses, the apostles, to Paul. There's a woman that just reaches out and in faith touches Jesus' robe to be healed. None of it makes sense, but it worked. Look at that. And then look around to others. Ask someone you trust to walk alongside you when faith doesn't make sense. Not to explain it to them or to you. Just be there with you. Try asking somebody, hey, can you just be confused with me for a little bit? Just try that. And it might take a while, right? Abraham had a 3-day journey. It had to feel like 3 years. But we show surrendered faith when we don't understand by being willing to still stand with God. So stand and surrender when it doesn't make sense. Surrendered faith is also faith when there's a way out. It took Abraham, like I said, 3 days to get to this site, to build the altar and offer Isaac as the sacrifice. 3 days to go somewhere else, to do something else, to get out of it. But he didn't do it. Think about going to a party or a social function that you're like, I know I got to be here, but I don't want to be here real long. So you carve out your out plan, right? You know how you're getting out. I do this, right? Oop, got to go home. Oh, babysitter. Oof, they got to get home, right? Got to let the dog out, right? Or, man, got to be up early tomorrow. Oh, boy, right? So you carve yourself ways out. There's outs. Walking in surrendered faith is tough because we will have outs. There'll be ways out. We're not supposed to take them, but they're there. And they're not hard to justify. And it can be easy to think, I'm not doing anything wrong by taking this little out. Like, I still believe in God. I'm just not going to go in that direction. Pastor Andy Stanley says, believing has become a substitute for following. Believing has become a substitute for following. Surrendered faith is about believing and following. It's that both and that shows a surrendered faith. Staying with God, even when it doesn't make sense, is hard. But it can be hard because there's another way out, another way to do something. And we'll find it if we look for it. It'll be tempting. Might be easier. We're going to want to do it. There's two ways I see this going. The first way out is just not going or not following at all. We can just say no, right? This would be Abraham saying, no, I'm not going to that place. I'm not sacrificing Isaac. It's the plant your feet in the ground, just like the kid that doesn't want to clean the room, and say, no, I'm not doing it. The reasons might be valid. You could say, God, I love you, but no. That's belief without following. God wants both. And when we don't follow, it creates this tension between us and God. Try to look at it from God's perspective for a second. I know we can't see everything as God does, but think about it for a minute. God saying, I loved you since the beginning. I sent my son to die for you so that I could bring you into my family forever, forgiven you multiple times for wronging me, offering unlimited grace, love, and truth. So trust me that by staying with me, I will guide you, I'll comfort you, I'll protect you. You might not see it now, but my way really is the best way for you, for me, and my kingdom. That's not God making us feel guilty, but God reminding us of who he is, who he's always been, and who he will always be. So kind of loosen the feet from the ground being dug in and just follow Jesus. The other temptation might be to go and follow, but kind of on a parallel path to God. You're going to go, you're going to follow, but you're going to look for an alternate process of doing things, right? Thinking, if it's Abraham, thinking, all right, well, all God really wants is a sacrifice, right? So we'll go, but I'm going to find something else along the way to sacrifice. Kind of the parallel path. And to the world, this kind of makes sense. Just get the job done. I don't care how you do it. Just get it done, right? Like if I say to all of you, your job is to go find me a chocolate chip cookie, right? All wants a cookie. I don't care if you make it. I don't care what recipe you use. I don't care if you go buy it. I want the cookie. God doesn't care about the cookie. God cares about the process, how you make the cookie. You can laugh at that. It's supposed to be ridiculous. That's the idea here. Okay? It's about the process. God wants us following him step by step by step, not just getting to the end result. The process is faith. It's surrendered faith. It's following and going, even when there are other options available. We just don't always like the process. When God tests our faith or we're in a situation where we need to exercise our faith, there is going to be other ways out. Believe and follow like Abraham did. Walk in surrendered faith. Abraham had faith. Have faith to follow like him. Surrendered faith is also faith when it hurts. This was not a normal burnt offering or sacrifice. This was Abraham and Sarah's son, the one they wanted and God promised them. What level of pain must Abraham have been feeling? This week over spring break, all four of us at our family, we fixed up our bikes. We started riding bikes again, Stacy and I and the kids. And I thought back to a time in middle school, I took like this super gnarly spill on my bike. We've all probably been there, right? And I gashed up my knee really good, like massive cuts. But part of taking care of that knee is the cleaning it, right? We know what cleaning a cut feels like, right? Put something on, it just stings like no other, it burns. But that's part of the process. You gotta do it even though it hurts. And I wish it didn't, but sometimes walking in surrendered faith is gonna hurt. It hurts in a few ways. At least a couple I'll bring up. Might be relationships. You follow God, you show your faith when God calls you to do it. You do it in a good way, you do it in a respectful way, and it just rubs somebody the wrong way. So you have a relationship that fractures or a relationship that changes. Maybe it even ends. That hurts, any type of relationship. You did it right, you follow God, but it still hurts. Now, maybe there's more to it. Maybe it'll lead to better and good things later on, but it doesn't change the fact that it hurts right now. Surrendered faith is continuing to follow God even though you know it might hurt sometimes. Surrendered faith hurts because it involves sacrifice, and not this biblical type of sacrifice, but just sacrifice of our lives and how we do things sometimes. It may cause a move. I've gotten to know a lot of pastors over the years, and so many of them have uprooted lives and moved across the country. Or it might be the sacrifice of taking different jobs. Or maybe it's a sacrifice to do with finances, your comfort, your familiarity, some safety support. Sacrifices hurt. Sometimes walking in surrendered faith hurts. I want a quick caveat. It doesn't always hurt when we walk in surrendered faith, right? You're not doing anything wrong if it doesn't hurt, okay? But sometimes it does. So when walking in surrendered faith does hurt, remember a few things. We aren't promised that it won't hurt right here in the moment. We aren't ever promised that. I think if there wasn't any hurt to it and it was never hard, I think we'd have a lot more people that would have faith in Jesus. But it might. It might hurt. God promises, though, that he'll be here with us when it hurts. God does promise that the hurt won't last forever. Walking in that surrendered faith and going through the pain and dealing with the pain is worth it. And it's worth it because faith comes through in the end. It's that last part, surrendered faith. Faith comes through. The angel spoke and told Abraham to stop. The angel showed Abraham the ram that was going to be offered in sacrifice. God came through. Walking in surrendered faith is taking a look at the situation of the test you're in, seeing God come through or being present with you in the moment, and giving him the glory and the credit for it, thanking him for being there with you, and just sitting in his peace and comfort and trusting that he will come through over and over again. On Good Friday this week, we're going to be reminded of how God came through by sending Jesus to be our sacrifice for our sins and how our slates are wiped clean because of our wrongs and our shame. So please come and join us for that. This was the ultimate come through moment. It's already happened. And we get to live in that now. And then it's giving us eternity with Jesus because of it. So as we live in that now, walk in that surrendered faith. We'll wrap up here. Surrendered faith is faith when it doesn't make sense. It's not always going to add up perfectly for us. We got to get past that. Follow and obey even when it doesn't make sense. That's surrender. It's faith when there's a way out. We can find ways out. We might be really creative about them. We're going to find them. They might seem easier, less stressful, or quicker, but surrendered faith isn't looking for a way out. It's looking up to God only. Surrendered faith is faith when it hurts. I wish for each and every one of us in this room following Jesus that walking out our faith meant there was no more pain right now, today, in this moment. But it doesn't mean that. But it does mean there will be a day when we are with Jesus that there won't be pain or struggle or frustration or stress. So today, walk in surrendered faith, knowing it might hurt for a time, but that God comes through all the time. Surrendered faith is looking to God when he comes through and knowing and believing he'll continue to do it. Surrendered faith is not admitting defeat, not at all. It's displaying unwavering devotion to God himself. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this story of Abraham and his demonstration of faith that we can learn from. And God, I pray for all of us that we would walk in that surrendered faith. God, I know this one's hard. But God, that we would see surrender as just devotion to you, that our trust would go to you, that our eyes would go to you, God. We would walk in that surrendered faith, God, even if it doesn't make sense to us now, God, even if it hurts, God, even if there are ways out, that we would just be surrendered to you. We would look to you, we would follow you, we would trust your guidance and know that you've come through time and time again and you'll continue to do so. So God, I pray that all of us would walk in that surrendered faith. In your name.